Welcome to this message from Alpha and Omega Christian Fellowship. We are a family on a journey to become more like Christ, sharing His kingdom by expressing His love. We hope that you will be blessed and encouraged by what we have to share.
We are in the presence of the Lord. Let's be present in His presence. Because so often we come to gatherings such as these and we are physically here in body, but our mind is all over the place. So make an effort and gather your mind from wherever it is scattered. If you're worried about something, just lay it at the feet of Jesus. And cultivate the consciousness that we are in His presence and that He wants to minister to us today in a unique way, personally, collectively, as a family. Precious Spirit, You are the giver of life. You are the one who opens up the heavens. You're the one who holds the key to God's treasury. We humbly ask that You would give us ears that are able to hear, a heart that is able to understand Your ways, the ways of Your kingdom. Help us this morning, we pray. Help me to communicate the very things and the realities You've laid on my heart over the years of experience and journey that I have journeyed with You in this wonderful walk with You, Lord Jesus. Thank You. Thank You. I want to share with you about the exceeding riches of God's grace. The Bible calls that exceedingly rich toward us in His kindness and in His mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul writing to the church, he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." The purpose of my sharing today is to highlight, to bring to center stage the greatest, the most wonderful, and significant event that took place in your life and in my life. It is to magnify our born-again experience, which is by far the greatest miracle and the crown jewel of Christ's work on the cross. Would you agree with that? There is no greater miracle in heaven or in earth than your born-again experience, when God touched your life and mine and recreated us and made us new creations in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says He raised us up together with Christ and seated us at the right hand of His majesty, together with Jesus Christ. Isn't that the greatest miracle of all time? Is there anything greater than that? Is there? Are you here today? Praise the Lord. So that's the purpose of my sharing today. When you accepted Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, the things that happened in your spirit often are unspeakable to express with your natural language. Thank God that the Lord has given us a heavenly language. When my heart at times is so overwhelmed with gratitude, and I have no words in the natural language to express how I feel deep down inside of me, I burst out with this heavenly language, the spiritual language, the language of angels. And I express that to God, for He alone understands what goes on inside of me at that very moment. It has never failed when I think of my salvation, when I think of my rebirth experience, what happened that night, I break out in inexpressible words with the natural language. And my eyes are flooded with tears. For I know where I was. I know where I have been. And everything I am and everything I have, I owe it to my Lord Jesus and what He did for me on that very night. I believe that the church, you and I, needs to give proper recognition and highly value and celebrate this wonderful miracle that we receive from God through Christ Jesus. Don't you believe that? Scripture says we are to be, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, always thanking God the Father. Why? Why should we always be thankful? Because He's given you a new car? Because He's given you a beautiful home? Because He answered your prayer about a certain matter that you've been praying for? Yes, we thank God for that. But listen to what Paul says. Always thanking the Father. Why? Because He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. There is the greatest miracle. Over the 48 years that I have been a Christian and have listened to many testimonies throughout the years of my walk with the Lord, with no exaggeration, most of the testimonies I have heard in church have been centered around physical and material blessings. Most of them. Blessings that they appeal to our five physical senses rather than the blessing of being rescued from the power of Satan and of darkness and being transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm not saying we should not thank God for that or give testimony towards that, but that shows us where our focus is. Where do we really gravitate in life? The house that you live in a few years, strangers will come in. The car that you drive, in a few years, it will be thrown onto the junk heap. Material blessings lose their value over time. They decay. They rust. They grow old. But spiritual blessings, they never grow old. And the more you appreciate them, and the more you thank God for those blessings that you cannot see or feel, the more real they become to you. I want you to think today, the truth of the matter, whether we like to acknowledge it or not, is that we have become so materialistic that we have lost sight of the greatest miracle we received through our union with Jesus Christ. Say yes and amen if you agree with that statement. Some of you do. But that's the truth. That is the truth. There are times where we value material things more than we value people and relationships. Amen. An example. I don't know about you, but maybe you walked around the house and you broke something that is valuable. I wonder how your spouse would respond. Or your grandchild broke something. I wonder how you would respond. It shows where our values are. Where is our heart? Is it on things that are seen and felt, things that we can touch and smell? Or is it on things that we do not see and we do not feel, yet we believe? Amen? Yet we believe. Jesus said, take heed in Luke 12:15, and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Amen? Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Your life and mine does not consist on how many things we have, how much money we have, where we live, what we wear. Many of us in the church, though born of the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, are not aware, truly aware, of the spiritual transformation that has taken place in our inner man. Nor are we aware, deeply aware, and deeply appreciative of the privileges that we have come into because of our union with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? God calls you an heir of God. God calls you a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The revelation of this truth ought to cause our feet to dance with joy. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Wow. Do we really believe that? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of the living God. Does that make you happy? Or are the challenges and the trials of life have obscured these truths from before your eyes? And all you see is your pain and your struggle and your challenge and your lack, rather than keeping before your eyes the greater picture of what God did in your life. Amen. Amen. I've observed this in church, and I'm talking about, when I say the church, the universal church, that the reality of our salvation in Christ, which is far greater than any other material blessing, does not seem to enthuse us anymore with passion, with unspeakable joy and excitement. We're not excited about our salvation. And oftentimes we ask, anybody has a testimony to share? And all of a sudden the congregation grows so silent, as though God is absent. He hasn't done anything. Why is it like that? Because we only believe what we can see, what we can feel, and what we can touch. We are more body conscious than we are spirit conscious. And it's time we grow up. Hello? Something is really wrong, folks. We are failing to properly appreciate the magnitude of the exceeding riches of God's grace toward us, which He bestowed on us through our union with Christ. The Apostle Peter, writing to believers then, listen to what he says to them, and listen carefully. He says, "Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." You see what true faith does? It fills you with, King James says, unspeakable joy and full of glory. You see, Peter is emphasizing the fact that though these believers have never seen the Lord, like we've never seen the Lord, yet they loved Him with all of their hearts. And even at present, he says, you do not see Him, yet you believe in Him. You are filled with inexpressible joy and full of glory. I draw this conclusion from the early Christians. The things that brought joy and excitement and glory to these believers were not material things. They were spiritual. How would you explain running towards the lions that were about to tear them, praising God, singing hymns to the Lord? How would you explain that? Because their hope was not only in this life, but in that which is to come. They looked forward to a city that was built not by man, but by God. An eternal city and life everlasting in the presence of the King. That brought so much joy and excitement to them that they did not fear death, they did not fear persecution, they did not fear any challenge that came up against them. And believe me, they went through much more than what we are going through in our daily lives. You see, their faith was not based on things they could see or feel. That's not where their faith was, but on the unseen realities of the redemption in Christ. They were redeemed. We sang this song, "The Blood of Jesus." Oh, the blood of Jesus. There's another hymn that says, "What could cleanse my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." The precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without spot and without wrinkle. Their joy was founded on the eternal and unchanging truths of God's word. And even though, as I said, they were going through fiery trials, fierce persecutions, they have never allowed those things to obscure or to steal the joy and obscure the realities of their salvation in Christ. They didn't allow them to. They saw the bigger picture. And they were strong in times of crisis. And throughout the centuries, this is what happened to the church. Throughout the centuries that the church has come through, the enemies of our faith have managed to divert our focus from the eternal and the everlasting truths to the temporal. And that's why I believe the church has to come to a place where we redirect and realign our focus to the things that have real value and real meaning. Amen? Paul writes to the Corinthians saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, "And if our hope in Christ is only for this life," listen to what he says, "we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." Did you see that? The King James says, "We are the most miserable of all people. If only we have hope in this life." The born-again experience, folks, what we call born from above, born from the Spirit of God, becoming new creations in Christ Jesus, is the greatest, the most significant miracle we received through Christ. And it ought to be the source of our joy, the source of our excitement, and the source of our passion. And be passionate about the Lord. So passionate that we cannot keep silent. You know, that's how I started my ministry. I would share what Jesus had done for me, whoever wanted to hear, and those that didn't want to hear. I lost some friends. It's okay. I gained many more. But I would not keep silent. I recall when the Lord sent me back to my wife, as I was praying in that bathroom for the first time, He said, "Go back to your wife." I wanted to follow the Lord. I wanted to be with Him forever. Because the transformation that took place in my heart, deep down in my soul, and the peace that He flooded my soul that was empty, that was filled with hatred and bitterness, He said, "Go back to your house and tell what great things the Lord Jesus has done for you." I thank God for material blessings. God has blessed us, blessed me and my family with material blessings. But I recall the day, as a young man, I drove up to the gas station. I didn't have any money for petrol. I said, "Can I have 2 rands petrol, please?" I know where I was. Thank God for material blessings. They're good, no doubt. But spiritual blessings are eternal and far more valuable than any riches, than any silver and gold. Silver and gold cannot buy you intimacy with God. There is no amount of money in the world to purchase redemption. That's why the Bible says you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot, without wrinkle. There was nothing in this world that could purchase your redemption. Only the precious blood of God's own Son. Thank God for material blessings, but they obsolete, they become obsolete. But spiritual ones never grow old. And listen what I've learned. The more we acknowledge them, these unseen realities of our redemption, the more we testify about them, the more we praise and thank God for them, the more precious they become and the more real they become to you. You want the reality of your salvation to become more real? Start talking about it. Start telling people what Jesus has done for you. Don't keep quiet. Paul, writing to Philemon, said that our faith becomes effective, how? By acknowledging every good thing we have received in Christ. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. To acknowledge means to give thanks. To magnify, to testify of all the good things we received as a result of our union with Christ. Amen? No amount of money can purchase the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit came to live inside of us, He brought with Him and He shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. You can love the unloved. Stop listening to your flesh. Listen to your spirit deep down within that constantly endeavors to grab your attention. My heart was so filled with hatred and bitterness. I remember I went to work. I left school at 16. I came to South Africa at the age of 13. And from that time until the age of 23, just before my 24th birthday, it was one long darkness night. In 7 years, from 16 to 23, I changed 7 places of employment. I would not take anything from anyone. The moment my boss said something I didn't like, I was out the door. I worked for my uncle. The first one I worked for when I left school, I was 16. I worked for him for one whole year with no pay, no day off, 17 hours a day. I would go to the bathroom because my legs were so tired and sit to rest my legs. And I would say to myself, I'm going to kill him. One day, as God is my witness, I wanted to kill him. I hated him with such passion that if Jesus didn't save me, I was going to do it. And all that bitterness and all that hatred, one touch from God. On the night of the 6th of August, 1976, turned a sinner into a saint and a person that was filled with hatred, a rebel, into an obedient servant of His Majesty. What a miracle. The hardships, imagine plugging a 13-year-old from his friends, school friends, from his village, from his neighbors, and planting him into a foreign soil. He could not speak a word. I could not speak a word of English. I did not understand. And here I'm sitting in class, and people were talking at me and bullying me and laughing at me because I couldn't speak the language. Can you imagine what happens to a person's inside? The emptiness. I recall I cried for one solid day nonstop, feeling the loneliness and the rejection that took root in my soul as a young boy. And that night, on the 6th of August, it took one touch from the Spirit of God to set me free. How can I not thank God? How can I not serve Him with all of my life? How can I not love Him? How can you be quiet? You may not have the same experience as I had, but surely there was a time in your life, if you're sitting here, that you received assurance of your salvation. Your experience is different from mine. Yours could have been a gradual coming into faith, but still, what Jesus did for me, He did for you. Amen? Maybe your life was not full of darkness and full of hatred and rejection and bitterness, but outside of Christ, you were dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and your sins. And there came a day when you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I confess you as my Lord. And Jesus recreated you and made you a new creation and filled your heart with peace. Or else you're not born again unless you have an habit. Amen. Are you still out there? Amen. Listen. To be delivered from eternal damnation and the unquenchable fires of hell, because the Bible talks about hell, and to be freed from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son is the most magnificent work of Christ that is done in your life and mine. Let's appreciate that. Go to your neighbor. Invite him over. Build a relationship. I'm figuring out. The other day I wanted to invite all my neighbors. Some of them are Muslims. And just to share my story with them. My wife said, be careful, they're Muslims. I said, I have to tell them. I'll invite them for tea or maybe lunch, but then I'm going to get in a word. And I'm going to share what Jesus did for me. I've been praying for them for 7 solid months. I'm looking for ways to get into the door. And only the Lord can open the hearts. I can only pray and believe God. I don't want them on that day of judgment to point the finger at me and say, you were a pastor. You knew the truth. You never told me anything. I don't want any blood on my hands. As I said, every time I think of the day of my rebirth, my heart is overwhelmed. This month, August, the first week of August, is my spiritual birthday, and I celebrate that more than my natural one. Don't care much of my natural one. I was born naturally, physically in November 10, 1952. I died on the 6th of August, 1976, just before my 24th birthday. And I was born again. Actually, I am 48 years of age, spiritually speaking. The Bible says the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. If you knew that truth, you never worry that you're getting old physically. You would not want to tint your hair or do whatever you do. Not for you ladies. I'm talking about men. Amen. Perhaps, why am I sharing this today? Perhaps you have allowed the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, to put out the fire of the Spirit in your heart. And you need to stir that up again. Remember what Jesus said to the Ephesians, to the Ephesian church in Ephesus? He says, you have left your first love. You do all these good things, all these religious things. I know your works. You worked harder than anybody else. You did this, you did that. But I have this against you. You have left your first love. You have allowed other things to obscure, to steal the joy, the excitement, and the love you have for God. And we need to stir it up, stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. Find some way you can stir it up. Because we're living in times when the Lord is coming back soon. Amen. David, listen to how David prayed, and maybe this is the prayer we should adopt. In Psalm 51, verse 8, David prays this way, "Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice." In verse 12, he continues to pray and he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." And then in verse 13, he says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Notice the order of things. When will sinners be converted to the Lord? When the church's joy is restored. When we get back our excitement about our salvation, that we can't keep quiet. It just flows out of our mouth. You're so excited. You're so joyful because these realities that are unseen, because you believe them, you cannot help it but rejoice and be glad because of who you are in the Lord and because of what He's done for you. And you speak. Amen. And I finally, I'm going to share the last portion of Scripture. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, I love this portion of Scripture because this is my testimony. When I read these words, I see myself in it. God inclined to me and He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And that really ought to be all of our testimony, all of us. We've been brought out of a horrible pit. Amen. Out of the miry clay. And Jesus, the Lord, set our feet and established us on a new path. He changed the trajectory of your destiny and your future. You were headed one way, straight to hell, and He changed that. And you are destined now to go where He is. Isn't that an amazing miracle? So next time somebody stands up and says, "Has anyone got a testimony here in church?" I'm sure Michael will agree. You make sure you share your testimony. Let people hear, first of all, starting here in your own house, what did Jesus do for you? How did He rescue you? How did He work in your life and brought you to the place where you are today? You go home and pray about it. And when you have thought about your salvation and how the Lord had worked in your life, you call Michael and say, Pastor, I have a testimony I want to share. I want to share the wonderful thing that Jesus did for me, how he forgave my sin, how he delivered me. Well, you say, but I was a good person. I didn't. Well, what does the Bible say that he did for you? Just say what the Bible says. You know, here is the fundamental law of the Bible. Now listen. You have to believe before you feel. Are you listening to me? Believing comes first before you see. Believing comes first before you feel anything. That's why some people are afraid to say, God healed me. Why? Because they feel sick. What has that got to do with the truth? Well, I don't feel saved. Who said we walk by feelings? The Bible says we walk by faith. Did Jesus save you? Testify. And you will see how real it will become to you. And here's the problem. We want to feel something before we testify. We want to see something. No. That is not the way of the Bible. The Bible says, blessed are those who have not seen but believed. I think I said enough. Shall we stand? Maybe some of us need to repent this morning. What must I repent of? Have you been thankful enough? Do you realize what Jesus has done for you? Have you appreciated and magnified your salvation the way that Jesus wants you to? Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. That's a spiritual law.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For additional resources and more information, come and visit us at alphaomega.org.za.